God for the song service tonight, for His presence, for His grace, for His mercy that we don't deserve. We bless His name. We'll take your Bibles tonight and turn to Exodus chapter number 13. Just look at a few verses tonight. I will won't be long. I just have a thought the Lord laid on my heart yesterday. In Exodus chapter 13, verse number 20. Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Edom in the edge of the wilderness." Verse 21. "And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Father, we would thank You tonight for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to assemble ourselves, born-again believers, to call upon Your name. Thank You, Lord, for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for the songs that were sung. And Lord, I ask You now that You'd speak to the hearts of Your people, Lord, that we could be focused on You, the Word of God. And Father, I pray that You would do that in our lives that can't be done other than by You and through the Holy Ghost. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Exodus chapter 13, verse 20, 21, and 22. In studying the book of Exodus in our text, we know the word Exodus means the way out. That's what we find here tonight in our text. Israel, their way out was through redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the hand of God. We see here that God had brought them out of Egypt, and they were under the house of bondage and were enslaved for many hundreds of years. And God is now in our text leading them to a promised land. 70 souls, we know, Jacob's family, 70 souls went into Egypt by the way of Joseph and Joseph's provisions and Joseph's protection. But the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 1, there rose a king that knew not Joseph. And now we find that not only 70 went into Egypt, but now they estimate some 2 million is coming out of Egypt. And I want to say our Father, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has the power to redeem. You know, He can redeem 2 million people, but I'm thankful tonight He redeemed this one lost sinner. We find here 70 souls went out. These 2 million have come out by God's hand. You say, how did God do that? The same way He did it for you and I, through the blood of a substitutionary lamb. We thank Him for that. The blood of Jesus Christ, the power in the blood that was sung about this past week. I was thinking yesterday in studying this text that tonight as we read, I believe this is an account of and a picture of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And it's seen as a picture of the Trinity. Excuse me. We find that God the Father, He instituted, He put in place this salvation. We know Jesus Christ, He was that innocent lamb. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And now we find in our text this guiding light, this guiding pillar of cloud and of fire by day and of night. And it's a picture of the Trinity of the Holy Ghost. And I want to preach on the thought tonight, being led by the pillar of cloud and fire. Being led by the pillar of cloud and fire. Verse number 20. The Bible says, "And they took their journey from Succoth." I was thinking about that word, "they took their journey." It comes from the word where we get our word, NASA. It means to depart. It means to set off. At some points and places in the Bible, it means to be plucked up. Not in our text, They were departing. They were setting out to Canaan land, a place where God had promised, a place where God was going to deliver and God was going to guide. We find they were departing under the mighty hand of God. They were departing under God's supervision. They were leaving under God's sovereign hand. They were marching on under God's faithful supply. And we find they're traveling to a place eastward. I begin to think about the eastward places in the Bible. We find that the tabernacle always had to face eastward. I was thinking of those wise men. They came and they were searching for God. They said, "Where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." We find that Jesus Christ is likened as lightning coming out of the east, shining unto the west. Even so, the Son of Man shall be. There's something about setting eastward and departing eastward and facing eastward in the Bible. We find they're departing, they're setting out, they're going, God's delivering them, guiding them. And let me say tonight, there is a right way for you and I to travel. There's a right way that we need to carry on. There's a right way we need to set out. Thank you, brother. There's the right way we need to march on this journey. Our conversation needs to be right. Our manner, our actions need to be right. The way we carry ourselves outside these walls need to be right. The way we dress, it needs to be right. There's a right way to travel. And we find they're traveling eastward under God's direction. And they were traveling in a way that God was guiding and protecting them because they were very special people. They'd just been brought by the blood of the Lamb. They had just been set free by God's this substitutionary sacrifice. They had just been told to leave, and God said, the God of all heaven, he said, "When I see the blood, not any blood, but when I see the blood, I will pass over thee." I'd like to remind you tonight, you're a very special set of people. You're not some just ordinary, run-of-the-mill, cookie-cutter church member. But if you're a child of God, you've been set free, redeemed, blood-bought, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're on this journey. We're marching eastward. And I want to say tonight, God's seen us in our sins. Yet He loved us in our sins. He saved us in our sins. And now on this journey we're traveling, He's protecting and overshadowing us, just as He is these people. This journey, I believe, Pastor, is a picture of the Christian life. Paul talked about that walk. Peter speaks of we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. Jesus Christ said we're not in this, we're not of this world, or in this world, but we're not of this world. And I want to encourage you tonight. We need to stay on the journey. We need to stay on this path. We need to stay and look ahead and not get sidetracked. We need to march on and don't stop. And I began to think about the Salvation Army in 1871. They adopted a song that became their theme song for many years. And I'll quote, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward in the battle, see his banners go." We need to march on this journey. We need to follow Christ as he guides and directs and leads, as we see here in the text. They're on a journey. They were traveling, and the Bible says they were traveling and took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Edom. Begin to think about the word Edom. I looked up the word Edom yesterday, and it means a plowshare or a desert place. And I began to think, how and why would this place mean plowshare? And you begin to think about a plow, that thing that cuts that hard and dry and barren land. That's what he's leading them. No sooner is they're saved, no sooner have they been redeemed, they were facing difficult circumstances. They were facing challenging storms of life. They were put in a dry place, difficult problems, and yet it was not in their control. God had guided them. pulled them out, directed them out of Egypt, and they're walking to this place called Edom. Before them is going to be the Red Sea, and it's not because of their control, but it's a place that God is leading them. Notice in our text, it says they encamped in Edom, in the edge of the wilderness. This word edge, it means mouth. They were in the mouth, fixing to go into the very mouth of the wilderness. It was a place where they were going to be devoured, the place where they were going to be inhaled and sucked up. And yet it was God that placed them there. How are they going to respond? How are they going to react to this place of hard, difficult, dry, barren places? I was reading after one writer. He said that it would take 11 days from Mount Seir to the Promised Land. Yet we know the story. It took them 40 years. Two generations to go 11 days because of the way they reacted in their Edom. You know, I wrote my notes just a few minutes ago that we can't change our past. We can't change our past sins or mistakes or our past circumstances. They say hindsight is 20/20, and tonight you may be in a desert place. God's placed you there. Things may look barren. Things may look like they're not prospering. But I'm glad just in our text, God did not lead them without a guide, and He's not going to lead you and I without a guide tonight. The way He guides you and the way He guides me may be different. And I noticed that it's always going to be centered around His Word and through prayer. But the way He guides Israel, I think we have to say it's quite interesting. Notice in verse number 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud." It says the Lord went before them. It's the word to walk. He's saying here, and it suggests that the Lord is walking with them every step of the way. I just want to say tonight, I'm thankful for the song. He walks with me, He talks with me, and He tells me that I'm His own. Notice where He walked with them. He didn't walk in front of them. He didn't walk beside them or behind them. It said He walked or went before them. This word before them, it's the word face. God went before them, right before their very face, right in front of them, face to face. If this God I'm speaking about is not in our text, I'm thankful He's an accessible God. He's an approachable God. He's a God that wants to commune with us and fellowship with us. He's wanting to journey and guide us. Yet so many times, we don't give Him the time. Think about this past year. Maybe this past month or past week, where God is standing right before you, face to face, wanting to fellowship and commune with you, yet you're wrapped up in your circumstance, in this barren land, in this Edom, in the mouth of circumstances, yet you don't have time for God. Notice He's walking before them, face to face, guiding and protecting them. Did I tell you this tonight is a picture of New Testament grace? We'll see that in just a minute. He's walking before them by the means, notice, of a cloud. Means He's covered them. He's overshadowed them. He's protecting them. He's guarding them. The picture of grace, God's presence, walking face to face with you and I, God's grace. And this should have given them a constant assurance. It should have given them a visible, tangible evidence that He loves them and guards them and guides them. Nevertheless, just like you and I, occasion after occasion, they doubted, they rebelled, and they acted as if God was very distant from them. But God's amazing grace that saved us, God's grace that brought us from a place that we once to be to where we are now, God's grace that's protected us and overshadowed us, it's been kind to us and provided for us, that should give you and I assurance tonight that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The purpose of this cloud, I noticed, was to cover. It's a covering. But the word cloud, it comes from a Hebrew word to straighten. They were redeemed. They were saved. They were blood bought. They were God's own. They were the apple of His eye. But yet their walk needed to be straightened. I wonder tonight how many of our walks need to be straightened. I know mine does. Under their guidance, He was protecting them and covering them. They were already saved, born again. You know the story. Most of them, many of them, about all of them, never entered into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. God was trying to straighten their walk. He was trying to straighten their path. He was trying to trodden them by the right way. But yet, they failed. They never made it to the promised land. I notice in our text, in verse number 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way." I wrote down they were in the way, but not walking the straight way. Brother Randy sang it tonight. "I'll take the old highway." You know, there's a right way to walk and a wrong way to walk. Verse 21, it says to lead them the way. It means a path that's been trodden or a path that's been traveled. There's still a right way to travel this path. I want to say tonight, there's still a right way in preaching of the cross. There's still a right way to worship God in spirit and truth. There's still a right way through prayer and fasting and clean living and being separate from the world. It's a firm way. That's an established way. That's the stable way. That's the right way. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he stood and he pleaded with the people. He said, "Hearken to God. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken." He went on to say, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." My prayer is tonight that God would teach us this straight way to walk on the journey. Notice He's trying to straighten their walk. He's overshadowing them with a cloud. He's protecting them with a cloud. He's guiding them through this cloud, a new picture of grace. But He's trying to straighten their walk. And He's not only that, but He's trying to show them some things on the journey. In verse number 21, He led them by the way, by night in a pillar of fire. Lord, not only straighten our way tonight, but show us some things on this way. Open our eyes. Illuminate what You want us to see. Our pastor preached this morning about there in those Gihon Springs, anointing his tongue to speak the Word of God, then to anoint his eyes to see what God wants him to see. I pray He would illuminate our way. Imagine this light. 40 years. Bright as the noonday sun, never dimming, never going out. It was an amazing light. It was an eternal light. A light that illuminates heaven itself. Jesus speaks those 7 I am statements in the book of John. He said, "I am the good shepherd." He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the door." He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." He said, "I am the resurrection." He said, "I am the true vine." Here it is. He said, "I am the light of the world." He's lighting their way on this path they're trodden. He's not only overshadowing them and trying to straighten their path. Now He's illuminating their way. But to a child of God, He's trying to offer Himself as a guide on this way. Notice in our text, He's illuminating this way. It's a pillar of cloud by night. It's a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. But notice these pillars never changed. I noticed that they were constant. They were consistent pillars. One writer of this text said it was like the arms of God coming from the earth, strong and mighty pillars that never change. I think about pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. What about the rain? What about the wind and the storms that blow in and the storms that blow out? they would change, or these clouds or fires would diminish, or to their demise go away. But this cloud and this fire was different. Let me say tonight, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He's a special kind of pillar. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He has control over the storms of life. He has control over the storms of life. Let me say it this way. He's storm-proof. He's wind-proof. He's rain-proof. Jesus Christ tonight, He's fire-proof. Let the storms rage high. Let the dark clouds rise, for they won't bother me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Notice this cloud. It's not given until the blood of the Lamb had been applied. There was no blood. There was no cloud. No blood, no pillar of fire. You see, it's a picture of salvation. I want to say tonight, not until we're saved and redeemed and born again will God truly lead and guide and direct our lives. I believe it's a picture of the Holy Ghost. We don't receive God the Holy Ghost until we're saved. But notice, they didn't ask for this cloud. They didn't ask for this pillar of fire. It was a gift from God. You know, we didn't ask for God to direct us or guide us. We just asked Him to save us. But He told His disciples, He said, "Is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you." And just as this cloud guides Israel, Romans 8:14, the Bible says, "For many is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." My question to you tonight, is God leading you? Is He overshadowing you? Is He trying to straighten the path that you're trodden on? Maybe He's trying to lead you tonight to salvation. Maybe you're here and you've never truly been born again. Maybe He's leading you to a closer walk. Psalms 99:7, several times the Psalms tells us that God, He spake in this cloud that we're reading about. I wonder, is He speaking to you tonight? One writer said about this cloud, it had a threefold purpose. This cloud, it stood between them and their enemies. It went before them to guide them, and then it rested upon them. Is God resting upon you? Is God guiding you? Is He overshadowing you and trying to straighten the path that you're on tonight? Let me say it this way. In studying this yesterday, I learned there are three types of clouds. There's those cirrus clouds, the clouds that are at the loftiest of elevation, the clouds that are in the highest of altitude. Then there's clouds called cumulus clouds. Those are clouds that are a little lower. Those are clouds that are a little lower to the earth. And thirdly, there's stratus clouds. Those are the clouds that you and I see. Do you see the picture of the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're leading, they're guiding. I learned even that even though these clouds are in the heavens above, there's some things on earth that can change the formation of these clouds. They tell me those wildfires in Australia that's been burning for so long has changed the formations of clouds. Volcanoes, great eruptions, massive dust storms can change formations of clouds. But spiritually speaking, there's some things that we can do that can change this cloud that drives us. Paul talked about it. He told us that we need to put away some things. He said, put away bitterness and wrath, clamor and evil speaking, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here it is. And grieve not the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. By us grieving God tonight, by Him speaking to us and us not listening and God and not saying, "Yes, Lord, here I am," can change the very way God directs, God leads, and God guides. I don't want to change the cloud. I want the cloud to change me. Notice verse 22. The Bible says He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You know, we have a promise in the Word of God that He would never leave us nor forsake us. But But we can, by our walk, change the way God guides and directs. We can change if He's face to face before us. We can change Him by grieving the Holy Ghost. I wonder tonight, is He speaking to you? I wonder tonight, is He leading you to salvation or a closer walk with Him? What sin has He pinpointed in your life tonight that He wants you to come and get it under the blood? We're being led by God. We're being led by this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Let us be faithful in the path. Sister Brenda, if you'll come and play something on the piano, we'll all stand tonight. Being led by God, by a pillar of cloud, and by a pillar of fire. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, the most important time of the night, Father, is when we have the opportunity to call upon Your name. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to Your people. I pray, Father, that You'd help us. God, I pray that we'd be faithful in following You. And Father, I pray we'd be faithful in not grieving the Holy Ghost. Father, we want to thank You most of all for saving us, for redeeming us, Father, for the shedding of the blood. But Father, on this journey, we need Your help. We need Your protection. We need Your illumination. God, I pray You'd help us. Help us to be found faithful in all things. You know the needs of the hour, Father. I pray that You'd meet those needs according to Your riches by Your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is tonight, this altar is open. Is He speaking to you? Is He guiding you?
Thank you, Brother Gunn. Some are still praying. Can you imagine 2 million people out there on the wilderness, no water, no food? But they had God. We're in the wilderness in this world, dry place. You know what? David told us, having passed through the valley of Baca, make it a well, draw from the well. There's within us a well that He put. He's protecting us, God. Beautiful message, Brother Gunn. Thank you so much. While they're still praying, we have anyone that's supposed to do something that God put on your heart? Anything to do? Pray much for those hurting, those having surgery, have had surgery. God's been so good to us, so many needs, but we know we can trust Him. He is protecting us. His Brother Gunn preached tonight. All minds and hearts clear. Brother Josh, if you'll come dismiss us, my brother, pray much. Looking forward to the next service, the next service, the next service. Praise the Lord. We don't have to be just at church, does it? We can read, study, show ourselves approved, get along with Him. I love it when the Lord tells me to go somewhere and do something. I know He's going to be there. And He'll speak to us if we listen. Of course, if He knows we're not going to listen, why would He speak? But if we will draw nigh to God, James said, He will draw nigh to us. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Well, God, we thank You for another opportunity to be in Your house and to, Lord, and enjoy, Lord, the blessings, Lord, that only Your Spirit can give us. And we thank You, Lord, for, Lord, the song service, the music, and we thank You, Lord, most of all for the preaching, Lord, and the discernment, Lord, of Your Word and the delivery. And we pray, Lord, that You'd be with each one that's sick, Lord, that's hurting, whatever way, Lord, that may be. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would earnestly seek Your face and Your will for the life, and that each one of us would do that, Lord, and we would lay down our desires, Lord, and seek what You have for us. And we'll find out to give You the praise.